Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell reminds us how we can live in spiritual victory.
The Bible helps us to form into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you right now, you understand why the teenage girls oftentimes want to dress so immodestly and why the young people want to pierce and tattoo, because that's who they're watching on television. You know why they're not acting like Jesus Christ? Because they're not under the Word of God enough. They're not hearing enough preaching. You will never become like Christ if you're watching more television than you are the Word of God.
The Bible says that through Christ, we have victory. Through our relationship with God, He has made us more than conquerors. If He is for us, who can be against us? But if this is true, then why do we doubt and struggle? In our series today, we will learn about God's powerful sovereignty and how we can overcome the adversities of life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, The Winning Side, we will discover how our acceptance in Christ allows us to live in confidence that we're on the winning side. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Victory Through Discipline.
Well, this morning we are going to learn about discipline and exercise. And perhaps those are words that just don't settle well in your vocabulary. One man said, "Whenever I feel like exercise, I lie down until the feeling passes." Okay? And most of us are that way. We get to that place and we're just thinking, well, you know, maybe I will, maybe I won't, maybe there's something else to do. Well, last week we learned about the sovereignty of God. And we learned that God uses every event in our life for a purpose. That He is the Alpha and the Omega. And that God is always working on our behalf. And that God is always working in ways that we cannot see. He has a purpose. He has a plan for our life. And we learned last week that He will make all things work together for good to those who love Him and to those who are called according to that purpose. And how many of you are thankful for that promise this morning? But a lot of times people hear a promise like that and they come to somewhat of a fatalistic conclusion. And it goes something like this. If God is always working through all the circumstances, and if God's will is going to be done anyways, then I don't need to do anything myself. And I don't need to get involved in Bible reading or church attendance or witnessing because God is sovereign. And they take that truth and that doctrine to a perverted extreme. Because what we're going to learn this morning is that God makes it clear in His Word that while He is always doing His work and while His sovereignty is always a controlling factor in our lives, He has something for us to do in this world as well, and that He has called us out to be a people for His name, to be a people who are exercising unto godliness. And I want you to notice a passage that teaches this principle to us. In Philippians chapter 2, it's in your notes, verse number 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." What amazing verses. Notice the phrase, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Let's say that together. Ready, begin. Work out your own salvation with fear. So God's word says, work out. Come on, help me here this morning. Is it there or not? All right. God's word says, I want you to work out. God says, I want you to work out your own salvation. Now, the fact of the matter is God is sovereign. The fact of the matter is He knows the beginning from the ending. But God says, I want you to work out what I've put into you. Now, don't misunderstand that verse to think that you have to work to have salvation. That's not what it says. For by grace are you saved. Amen. You don't become a Christian by works. The Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when it says work out your own salvation, it is telling us then that God, when we were saved, placed His Holy Spirit within us. He placed within us certain divine enablements. And He says, I want you to work that out. I want to see that coming out of your life. I want to see your life reflecting my glory. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then He tells us the exciting part there in verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. In other words, you're not going to have to work out just in your own strength, but God is going to help you through this time of working out your own salvation. So one of our main responsibilities, if we're going to live on the winning side, is that we must have spiritual exercise and discipline as a part of our life. It's not as though God's going to implant scripture in your mind. You are going to have to read the Bible. It's not as if someone else can say your prayers for you. You'll have to learn how to pray and how to walk with God. So the winning side, yes, thank the Lord for His sovereignty, but it's going to involve all of us putting our hand to the plow and walking with Christ on a daily personal basis. So let's dig into this morning. Notice, if you would, first of all, the purpose of discipline. The purpose of discipline. Verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all but one receiveth the prize? Now, the purpose of this spiritual discipline is that we might finish the race. That we might finish the race. God says, I have a race for you. God says, I want you to finish that race with joy. I want you to finish that race for my glory. Know ye not that all they which run in a race run all? You see, the athletes did not train for a part of the race. They train for all of the race. And notice that in verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? Now, the Corinthians, to whom this letter was written, they were very familiar with the Greek Olympic Games. In fact, every 3 years, they had major Olympic Games there in Corinth. And this was an amazing sports town of the ancient world. And so the athletic metaphor was very much familiar to the Corinthians as the Apostle Paul wrote to them. And he said that when they were to run a race, speaking here of running in the stadium, that they were to run all, that their intent was to finish the whole race. Now, let me ask you a question as we begin this message. How many of you would like to finish your life in love with Jesus, in love with your family, in love with the Word of God, and with a good testimony for Jesus Christ? Because that's what this message is about. You see, if we're going to be on the winning side, let's ask Jesus to help us stay there for our entire life. And that's what He's talking about. We run all. We don't want to be like a sprinter who runs 50 yards and stops. We don't want to be the guy that went to church really faithfully for 3 years and was a really good husband for a while. And we don't want to be the guy that used to be faithful to the Lord. I want to help some of you today finish the race. And it's not a given. In fact, one of the reasons I believe the Bible is the infallible Word of God is because it tells the truth about everybody. And it tells us about a lot of people that didn't finish well. And by my estimation, reading through the great characters of the Bible, about 60% of them did not finish well. Think of Samson and others who did not finish well. If you're sitting here right now this morning thinking that someone can truthfully stand at your funeral someday and proclaim that you finished well, and you think that's the way it's going to be, you are being presumptuous. Because the fact of the matter is, no one will finish well unless they learn the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. And so he says, they run the race, they run all. Now, someone once said the Christian life is not a 100-yard dash, it is a marathon, and we want to learn how to condition for that marathon today. Now, the Greek Olympians, they trained for 10 months, and then for the 11th month, they had actually a trainer that watched over them with supervision. And this was all a part of their process, getting ready for the Olympic races. It was something they took very, very seriously because they wanted to stand on that bema seat and receive the reward that was due them should they win that race ultimately. I remember the story of a runner from Tanzania back in the 1968 Olympics. His name was Stephen Akwari. And Stephen Akwari was a man that was expected to win the gold medal that year. But tragically, as he got out and going about 100 and 200 yards into the race, he fell and fell very badly. Another runner fell on top of him. He was bleeding from both of his legs, and there was concern about if he should even be removed from the track. But right when they were planning to remove him from the track, they decided to let him if he wanted to continue. He insisted on continuing, and he got up, and the runners had already lapped him completely, and he ran the race and finally finished the race before he was whisked away to the hospital for observation and treatment. And when they found him coming out of the hospital, the reporters asked him this question: why, after sustaining the kinds of injuries you did, would you have ever gotten up to proceed to the finish line when there was no possible way that you could ever receive any kind of a medal? And this is what the runner said: my country did not send me over 1,100 kilometers here to start a race. They sent me here to finish the race. Jesus Christ has called us to finish the race. I can tell you that many pastors I have known have not finished their race for the Lord. I can tell you that finishing is not a guarantee. Finishing is something that you must determine in your life. When I came to this church, I came with the idea that I was here to stay for the long haul. I did not come here with the idea, I'll come for a few years and see what else opens up. I came here with the idea of putting my hand to the plow and not looking back. And that's the idea that I have in my mind for the Christian life, that I will put my hand to the plow and not look back. What I'm trying to tell you is that if you will finish, it will be a volitional decision that you will make, that I will be faithful to my God and I will be faithful to the daily disciplines of the Christian life. This is not just for a season of my life. This is my life. I will be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it was to finish the race. Their purpose was to finish the race. And then secondly, their purpose was to receive the reward. To receive the reward. Now, it's a great thing to finish, but what a blessing to receive the reward. Notice in verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Now, here we see that God is illustrating to us in His Word not only the importance of finishing, but also the importance of obtaining the prize, to lay hold of the prize. Paul is telling them that if they're going to be running, they might as well be running in such a way that they could win the prize. Now, the runner's goal in the Greek games was, of course, the wreath, taken from the olive trees and placed into the form of a wreath. It was placed on the top of the athlete's head at the occasion of winning that particular race. It was a corruptible prize. It would perish, but it was very honorable indeed to stand on the bema seat, which we refer to as the judgment seat, and receive that prize. Now, in Corinth, still today, there is the bema seat. This was the place where city judgment was passed out. Up on the high hill above was the temple Aphrodite. And down below in the city of Corinth was the track for the running, and alongside the track, houses and places of business. But the bema seat was central. This is where judgment was passed out concerning civil matters. And this is where the athletes were rewarded. And later on, we're going to learn about the bema seat that Jesus Christ speaks about concerning our eternal reward. But the runners would stand there before the bema seat, and they would bow their head, and if they won the race, the wreath would be placed on their head. When I was in Athens many years ago, I purchased this bronze wreath. It's symbolic of what the runners would strive to obtain in their running. They all wanted to receive the wreath. It was wonderful to finish the race, but they wanted to receive the prize. They wanted to be awarded for their faithfulness and for the discipline in their race. And so the runner's goal was a wreath. But our goal as Christians is not a wreath. Our goal is Jesus Christ. Our goal is to please our Savior. Notice in the Bible, please, 2 Corinthians 5 and 9. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. This is referencing our service as unto the Lord. We're not going to be judged for our sin, but it's going to be judged whether we rendered service, whether we took the opportunities or lost the opportunities. Those of you that do serve in ministry, and you will be thankful for all of eternity that you were serving the Lord and that you had opportunity to see his service fulfilled. And the Bible says, because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul spoke of it this way, Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, Paul said, I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived. I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so while the Greek athlete was running for the wreath, we are running for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We are running for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are running for his honor and for his glory, and that one day we might hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so the purpose of discipline is twofold. That first of all, we might finish, and that secondly, we might be rewarded so that Jesus Christ is glorified. We'll see more about that in just a moment. But let's recognize today that everything we're about to discuss with respect to spiritual disciplines is not without its purpose. There's a purpose to all of it. And the purpose is that we might finish to the glory of our God. Notice secondly this morning, the practice of discipline. As we consider the winning side, there must be the practice of discipline. Verse 25 tells us, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Now notice first of all, the Christian's practice of self-control. The practice of self-control. It says they strive for the mastery. Every man that striveth for the mastery. Those that enter into this contest are striving, and the idea of striving here is literally an agonizing, a working, a constant, rigorous training. They are striving for the mastery. And we hear about this with an amazing amount of athletes, the rigors that they put their bodies through to be able to perform. And it says that they are temperate in all things. The word temperate means self-controlled. I remember when I played high school basketball, we had literally, our coach literally said, you're not going to have drink soda pops if you're on my team. I forget what all else, that was the one that stands out. But he said, it's not just about coming and playing basketball. He said, you're going to have a certain grade point average. You're going to have to abstain from certain soda pops and drinks. He said, I don't want the girls hanging around practice. I don't want them on the bus. I don't want you hanging around the girls. He was very adamant about that. You know, that basketball coach wanted me to focus on one single thing, and that was the sport. And I might add, we won two Far East basketball tournaments with that philosophy. Why? We were striving for the mastery. This was something that was emphasized. In other words, it's not just about the day of the race. Listen to me. It's not just about Sunday go to church. It's about every day. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And so we're temperate in all things. We're not just temperate on Sunday morning to get up and go to church, and thank God you did, but we've got to be temperate on Mondays, and we've got to be temperate on Tuesdays, and we've got to practice these disciplines of self-control along the way. If a man will give a pigskin, that type of dedication, what should we give to Jesus Christ? Should we not talk with him every day? Should we not walk with him every day? Should we not exercise unto godliness every day? The Greek athletes who, in preparing themselves for the games, abstained from unwholesome food. They abstained from sexual indulgence. They abstained from wine. They only thought of one thing, and that was the games that they were about to participate in. 1 Timothy 4:7 says it this way, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now, get that verse right there, if you would, in your eyeballs there. Notice it, if you would. 1 Timothy 4:7-8. I want you to read this with me this morning. 1 Timothy 4:7-8. Ready, begin. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself unto. For bodily exercise profiteth, But godliness is profitable unto having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Now, verse 7 says we're to set aside gossip. We're to set aside talking about things that are unprofitable. And we are to exercise ourselves unto that which is godly. What would happen if every Christian woman, so-called, would take all of the exercise of gossip and replace it with an exercise unto godliness? What would happen if every man who spends time just idly talking about other people and other things would take that same time and talk about the goodness of God and asking questions about the Bible and the doctrines of the Bible? So the Bible teaches us that we're to exercise ourselves unto godliness. And then notice verse 8, it says, bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, this is not a message to put down bodily exercise. Some of you need to do that, and you're involved in doing that. That's fine. That's wonderful. But here's the point this morning. To the extent that a man or a woman would exercise physically and rise up early and be excited to go exercise, but not have that time in the Word of God, is to the extent that there's an imbalance in their life. Because bodily exercise, it profits something. But notice what it says, that godliness is profitable unto how many things? All things. Being a godly person, having the wisdom of the Word of God, is vital in your life. And taking the time to exercise your spiritual discernment in the Word of God. Now, the word exercise here, of course, means a vigorous activity. And that means that when someone is exercising on a machine, that if they're gonna have opportunity to really see the benefit of that exercise, they need to be very rigorous at that, at least for a season of that exercise. And God says, when you come to my house, when you open my word, and when you pray, don't fall asleep doing it. But be vigorous about what you're doing. Be attentive about what you're doing. Take whatever measures are necessary to write down questions, to ask your teacher a question, to email the pastor a question, to study, to show thyself approved. It ought to be something that is serious in your life. Now, there are at least four spiritual exercises that I give recommendation to you this morning. This is my prescription to you today, those of you that are slightly spiritually obese. Those of you that are spiritually apathetic, those of you that spiritually need to work some calories off, you need to exercise yourself unto godliness. Here's a prescription for you this morning, spiritually, to get stronger. By the way, how many of you, when you go to the doctor and he says, take this or do that, how many of you do what the man says or the woman says? Huh? Come on, help me. Come on now. Help me out here. Someone say, I don't do it. Yes, you do. He writes out that little paper, you go to CVC Pharmacy, and you do what he says. So here, Dr. Chappell is prescribing to you something this morning, okay? I'm going to give you a fourfold prescription today about exercise. First, I want to challenge you to exercise your prayer life. Exercise in prayer. Take time to be holy. Take time with the Lord. We have this little tool that we published a few years ago called the Stewarding Life Planner. They're available out in the bookstore. This is what I use every single morning, and it's a help to me. And I've used different tools, but I write down my time spent in prayer. What time did I pray? How long did I pray? And it's something that's a tool. And it's right on the study desk. It's right there where other books are, my Bible is, where things that I do every morning early. It's right there. And it's going to stay there. And it's in the way. It's talking to me. Don't forget me. And I take time in prayer. And I want to encourage you, make a prayer list. Secondly, exercise in Bible study and reading.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.